All right, thanks, Kale. Like you said, my name's Melissa Long. I guess I'm Dr. Melissa Long. I work at LCISD. I work at Foster High School. I'm going to change gears a little bit. I'm not going to talk about the knee. I know scheduled it is a knee talk right now. But we're going to talk about coordinated school health instead. For those PTs in the room, I think that coordinated school health, I realize that you're not in high school, and so this might be something that you're not very interested in. But if you think about it about public health, we're going to talk a little bit about accountability and prevention, stuff like that. So if you just kind of try and draw those parallels between public health, when I say coordinated school health, you might be able to catch on. And those University of Houston students, yes, hi. I know that you guys don't deal with this a lot yet, but you will. When you get into your rotations at high schools or, Lord willing, you get a job in a secondary school or as an outreach, these things are going to come back. You're going to remember this, and I hope that what you remember from this talk helps you. So, disclosure statement, I don't get paid nearly enough. I get a teacher salary. They tell me I get a coach's stipend. I don't believe them, but I do get $8 to drive the bus to the football games. So that's good. Help me out, Kale. I need to go back. There we go. Not that far back. Whatever. All right. So what is coordinated school health? I know when you first hear it, coordinated school health, you're like, oh, yeah, that's me and the school nurse. We're good. I got this. It's not you and the school nurse. Believe it or not, you guys are two people that play a role, but there are a lot more people involved in coordinated school health than that. Coordinated school health is this whole entire overarching model that you may or may not have actually heard the term coordinated school health, but you do deal with it every single day. I promise you do. So it's this effective model that connects the physical, emotional, social health within education. And using this model, the schools work within the family and the community structure to ensure optimal health and wellness for children. So we're not just talking about the absence of illness, we're talking about overall health, how we can care for these students, every aspect of it. So coordinated school health was actually brought about by the Center of Disease Control, the CDC, you know, the ones in Atlanta, in the middle 80s. That's when we had a lot of issues with obesity. We were concentrating a lot on AIDS and HIV and how to prevent those things. And all of a sudden, we started seeing this sharp decline in general health of the student population. And so the CDC came up with this thing that they called the coordinated school health model. It had these 8 components. Some of you may have seen this graphic before, and it's a little old, you can tell, but we'll get to that. That these 8 things all already existed in the school setting. They already existed in the school building, but they weren't purposely tied together. And so that's where the CDC came in and said, let's take all of these things and make it purposeful. Let's take comprehensive school health education, which we kind of still have. We'll talk about that a little bit. Physical education, school health services, which is the school nurse and you and I. Nutrition services, what we serve in the cafeteria, stuff like that. Counseling, social service, school environment, a healthy staff, family community involvement, all these things they started bringing together, and they wanted it to be purposeful and to know that it existed in the school. Then, in 2007, there we go, oh, there we go. The ASCD, which I tried to write it out for you guys, but it just wouldn't fit on the slide, is the Association of Supervision Curriculum Development. Some of you, if you're in curriculum writing, you know about the ASCD. If you're not, you're lucky. These people came up with this model that says we want to make our students healthy. We want to make them healthy all the way around, not just that they're absent from illness, but we want mental health and we want physical health. We want to be challenged and supported and all those really good feel-good things, right? That when you're in getting an education degree, you're like, yeah, and when you get into the real world, you're like, yeah, right. That doesn't actually happen. We just try and survive the day every day, and I totally get that. But in 2007, the ASCD said we really need to work on that kind of stuff. And the CDC was already saying we really need to work on that stuff. So in 2013, they got together and they said, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing. And I think maybe we should try and work together. Instead of competing and saying the same thing from 2 different angles, let's get together and say the same thing from 1 angle. So what you're going to see, and you might have started to see it this year a little bit, is this one over here on your far right. That's our new model. We put these two together. That's what we're going to call the whole school, whole community, whole child model. So we took both of those, the coordinated school health model, the whole child initiative from the ASCD, and we brought it together as one. I've got a quick little 2-minute video for you. I don't know how to make that play. You've just got to click in the middle. That kind of tells you all the great stuff about it.
For too long, health and well-being have been put into a silo, kept both logistically and philosophically separate from education and learning. Yet we know that both health and education affect individuals and society, as well as the economy. Health and education must work together whenever possible, and schools are a perfect setting for this collaboration. In 2013, ASCD and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention convened a group of leaders to strengthen a unified and collaborative approach to learning and health. The result is the whole school, whole community, whole child model. This new model combines and builds on elements of the traditional coordinated school health model and ASCD's whole child initiative. It responds to the call for greater alignment, integration, and collaboration between health and education. The model expands the components to 10, placing greater emphasis on the psychosocial and physical environment and highlighting the ever-increasing expanded roles that community agencies and families must play. The new model also outlines how the school, staff, and students are part of the local community. While the school may be a hub, it remains a focal reflection of its community. The components surround the tenets of a whole child approach to education, those that ensure that each child is healthy, safe, engaged, supported, and challenged. Finally, the new model returns attention to the ultimate focus of the two sectors, the child. Join us in ensuring a collaborative approach to learning and health for each child, in each school, and in each community.
Makes you kind of feel good, huh? Makes you like, yeah, I do that. So that original one that I showed you from the 80s had 8 components. Well, now we're working with 10. So 2 of those components from the 80s that are over here in the purple, we've split up to make into 4, which brings us to 10. And as athletic trainers, we're involved in these, especially that physical environment one. We're actually involved in a lot of them, a lot more than you would actually think that we're involved in. So when we say things like community involvement and family engagement, you're like, that's not my deal, you know? But it really is. Community involvement, you work with doctors from the community. You, family engagement, you talk to parents on Friday nights or Wednesday mornings or whenever else the kids get hurt. So we really are involved in a lot of these. And so I know that you're thinking now, all right, Melissa, that's really great, but what role do I really, really have? So, like everything in Texas, the state wants to know how we're doing it, what we're doing, how good we're doing it, and whatnot. So, they evaluate us. They evaluate your school districts on coordinated school health. This is the school health index for high schools. We also have one for middle schools. We also have one for elementary schools. And this is an evaluation. It is hundreds of pages of an evaluation that somebody in your district fills out every single year. And guess what? A lot of what is in this binder has to do with what you do every single day. And where we may or may not have an issue, I'm just trying to bring it to your attention, is do you know who fills this out in your district? Do they know who you are? Do they know what your job is? So part of our job as athletic trainers is one, well, we all know what we do. We know how we keep our kids safe and all that. But we have to go out and tell other people in our district what we do. Just because our district employs us doesn't mean people understand. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one because, man, there's way too many days. They're like, oh, you're an athletic trainer, so you're a strength coach? And I'm like, no, I'm not. So when we get to our district and we find out who's filling out this school health index, this SHI, we can help them fill it out. We don't have to actually circle the bubbles, but we need to educate them on what we actually do every single day. So some of those components, like I said, there's 10. I'm just going to hit on 3 really quick and give you some of the questions from in them that actually deal with exactly what we do every single day. So one of those is physical environment. Remember, that's one of our new ones. Physical environment asks, there are actually questions that ask, do we have a standard precaution for blood and contaminated materials? I'm pretty sure we do, right? We all wear gloves if we're taking care of someone with blood. We all dispose of them properly, I hope. But do we have a written protocol for it? So one, do we do it? And two, do we have a written protocol? Who knows where that protocol is? Who knows where to access it? Who all knows what it actually says? Excuse me. I'm guessing that you know, and I'm guessing that your school nurse knows, but who else knows? What about a crisis response plan? We all have them, we all know what to do in a crisis, but who else knows? Where do we keep it? Where is it stored? Do we update it every day? Do we update it every 6 months? Do we update it every season? When do we update it? And when we do update it, where does it go? Does it just go onto our H drive in the cloud somewhere and nobody really knows? Do we tell our district people? Do we tell our risk management department? Who do we tell? When do we tell them? How do we tell them? And who actually really cares about it? So these are all things in the physical environment. Some of the other things that we do every day, because these are all prevention, right? These are all in our first domain. Whether you actually go out there and say, I'm going to now scan this field to make sure that it's safe, and you look around. Whether you do that or you just walk out there and you're like, oh my gosh, how did this huge hole get in my end zone? Where's a bucket? Let me fill it in, right? That you are making your environment safe for your players. You're making your physical environment safe. So it actually asks a question about that. Who's in charge of making it safe? Who checks it every day? How often is it checked? Stuff like that. There's actually a question on there asking that. There's somebody in your administration building, we call it the ivory tower in my district, that's filling out these questions, answering them for you. Don't you think that maybe you should have a relationship with that person to say, hey, you know what? By the way, I actually do that, and I do it every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Or I do it every Friday night at 6. Or by the way, no one actually checks that soccer field. So you need to know who's filling this out so that we get the right questions answered the right way. Some of the other things, just really quick to hit on, asthma and EpiPens is a big one. I don't know why the CDC loves asthma so much, but they really, really do. They want to know so much about asthma, they ask about it in 7 different domains. I don't know why. But how do we treat asthma? Do we teach empathy towards asthmatics? Interesting question, right? What's our policy on carrying their pumps? Do they carry them by themselves on school, during the school day, after school, during athletics, all that fun stuff? And then one that I really never thought that we were involved in as athletic trainers was smart snacks. You guys have all heard about smart snacks and what the cafeteria can serve and what they can't serve and how much sodium content is in the green beans. They actually count after school. If your coaches are selling Gatorade after football practice, you know, it's 6 p.m., it's after 3:30, the school day's over, or are they selling protein bars and whatever, are they smart snack certified? Because if they are, great, you are totally in compliance, you rock. And my guess is most of us don't rock, because I know that Gatorade's not smart snack compliant. But these are things that they actually ask questions on. A couple other maybe not. There we go. So physical education. Believe it or not, I actually do teach PE too, every single day to freshmen. It's so wonderful. And so this actually does pertain to me, but a lot of it actually pertains to athletic trainers. It asked about the training for coaches. How are your coaches trained? Are they trained in concussions? Do they know what to look for? Are they CPR trained? Are they AED trained? I don't personally teach our coaches that, but our head trainer on my campus does. So she needs to know to answer this question to the person at the district that says, yes, every single one of our coaches is CPR and AED certified, and I did it, or she did it. I didn't do it. Our facilities, are they meeting the standards? And then there's a big section. There's four or five questions total about athletic safety requirements. Oh, that's us. That's so us. Your PPEs, does everybody have one? I know the UIL says that everybody has to have one, right? So we're all like, yeah. Every kid that is an athlete at my school has a PPE on file. And this is where I keep it, and this is how often I review it, and this is who reviews it. But the question asks, is it insured that every student has one? You will never guess what happened on May 16th this year. At my school, I had a wrestler walk in, first period, in blue jeans and black dress pants. It wasn't a good combination to start with, but he was wearing it. And he was limping really bad. And I'm like, wow, I've never seen this kid before. And it's like the middle of May. I should totally know this kid, right? He's like, oh, I got hurt lifting. I was like, really? In that? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay. What's your name, dude? He's like, Larry. I was like, Larry? Awesome. Can you sign in right over there? We have rank one, you know, everybody's red or everybody's green. Larry signs in. Larry's red. Larry is red. So this question, although I already answered it yes for the school year, probably should have been no. Not everybody had a PPE on file. That got back to the wrestling coach. Don't worry. Not my problem. I administered first aid. He was fine, eventually. But the question asked if every student does. Every student should have, yes. The question didn't ask, should every student have a PPE? The question asked, does every student have a PPE? And that guy at admin that did this the year before checked yes the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before because he wanted to see us look good, our district look good when we put these, when we reported back to the state of Texas. Do we have a dehydration policy? How do we report injuries? Do you have a heat policy? It asks all these things and it asks where they're stored, who knows about them. So these are all things that we obviously do. And then finally, health services is another big one that we are involved in. It's also really big with the school nurse, but also how do you talk to your team physician? How do you comply with HIPAA and FERPA? It asks all these questions, and that person that's in the administration office filling this out probably doesn't actually really know. That person is probably just going to fill it out the way that they think it should be filled out so that we look good, right? I don't blame them. But as an athletic trainer, you should want to become more involved. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, no, I do enough. I work 70 hours a week during football season. I work 60 hours a week during soccer season. And let's not even talk about baseball because I think they're still playing. I'm not really sure anymore. But it's really not that hard to get involved in your district. So every district has this thing called a SHAC. It's a school health advisory committee. They meet 4 times a year. Mine meets on Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. It's really great to try and go to one of these meetings just to see what's going on in your district. See who's all involved. Who is on the SHAC? There are usually a lot of parents that are really actually worried about the salt content in the green beans. So weird to me. Also ketchup and sugar content in ketchup. Weirdest stuff ever. But they do it. But they also really are concerned about athletics. There are parents out there that really do want to actually help, not just hound you. And they go to these SHAC meetings. So I would suggest going to one of these SHAC meetings. Our district, for the 8 of you that are here, surprise, surprise, next year we're requiring one athletic trainer from each campus to be on the SHAC committee, which is going to be great. It's going to be great because I already am one of them. But it's going to be good to get campus involvement so that the district really understands where we're coming from. And that when we go to fill out this huge evaluation that holds us all accountable at the end of every year, that it's going to be answered correctly. I'm not worried about getting 100% on this. I'm worried about making sure that my administration and eventually the state of Texas knows where we are deficient so that we can get help in that area. Do we need more funds? Do we need more man hours? Do we need more stuff that helps other people get us in compliance? Because ultimately, everybody, every district just wants to be compliant, right? So whatever it's going to take for them to bring us into compliance, I'm going to make sure they know what we're missing by getting involved in this SHAC committee. Find out who does the evaluations. Find out who does it and make a relationship with them. Because they're probably not that scary, although the one in our district was really scary. But you have to remember that if you get involved, all this is going to do is help your kids. It's going to help your students. It's going to help your student trainers. But it's also going to help those kids that come in and out of our district every single day that you never really do interact with. It's going to help make their overall health better. All right. So here's my contact information. This is my personal email because for some reason our district email filters out a lot of stuff. And this is my cell phone number. If anybody has any questions, they need help, I'm presenting to a school board tonight on this, not about what athletic trainers do, but about coordinated school health in general and how we're coming forward with it. And so I'd be happy to help anyone that has any questions or just needs more information about it.